Jessica, now this staph infection that is making the news lately, they talk about how you can get it from someone who's got an, in, you know, if you have an open sore or wound. Is it that easy to come down with?
One thing that's important to remember, George, is that about a third of us at any time carry staph aureus without even realizing it. It's one of the more troublesome of our native microbes. It tends to hang out in the nose of about a third of us. And there's no real practical way to get rid of it. And unfortunately, these very drug-resistant and virulent strains are becoming more and more common. So on the one hand, you don't want to get too crazy and germophobic. That has its own problems. But definitely, if you're using shared quarters, like in a gym, or elsewhere, you want to put down that fresh towel, you know, when you sit down on the bench, especially if you might have, you know, we all have, let's face it, some pimples and stuff on our body. You know, you can have a tiny little open sore without realizing it. So that's the thing, not to share equipment. Let's say if you're playing a team sport and you might not want to share those shoulder pads or whatever.
I'm going to share something with millions of people right now, but producer Tommy is a germophobic. I mean, he carries around those gel alcohol things, right? And he constantly is washing his hands. He's obsessed with people who really are germy. I remember one day, Jessica, we went out to lunch, and somebody was bringing him a salad, and I guess it was a waitress, and she sneezed, not in his salad, but pretty darn close. And you should have seen Tom. I mean, and he's the one you've been talking to tonight. He couldn't handle it. I mean, he just couldn't handle it. How many people are that way? And by the way, he's probably not wrong, is he?
Well, you know, even though I've, you know, written a book that really talks a lot about how we need to embrace germs, when I jump on the New York subway and I put my hands where 100 or 1,000 other people have put their hands that day, you bet then I pull out a bottle of alcohol hand sanitizers. There's also a big difference between something like an alcohol hand sanitizer, which just kind of obliterates germs, and the new antibacterial soaps that have become so popular, which might have some real problems because those antibacterial soaps contain triclosan and triclocarbon, which are chemicals that work like antibiotics. So they might be breeding more drug resistance. So along those lines, I would steer people clear from the research I've seen and the scientists I've talked to. I would steer people clear of antibacterial soaps, and if they really want something besides soap and water, reach for those alcohol hand sanitizers.
How about sponges? They could be a place where bacteria could hide for forever.
Sure. And again, though, the idea is, remember, not all bacteria are something to be scared of. So, you know, some scientists will get you all scared because they'll count the number of bacteria in let's say, the sponge you use to clean out your kitchen sink. But most of those germs are harmless. That's not where staph, for instance, is going to hang out.
Jessica, you know, you talk about in your book the use of yogurt, that it's good for you. Is there any downside here?
I don't think there's any downside to yogurt. At the same time, only a few probiotics have really been put to the test, put to the scientific studies to show what exactly do they do. And when they do that, some don't have that much of effect. Some have a real beneficial effect. I don't think that they've come to any that can really harm you. But in some supplements, you know, that you're going to the health food store and plopping down like a dollar a capsule, when you're putting down that much money, you probably want to know, does this really do something to benefit me? And if that's the case, I'd say look on the label to see if it says something like, clinically proven to prevent antibiotic-associated stomach upset, things like that. Because most of those might be no better than snake oil.
All right, let's go back to the beginning where the antibiotics might have caused this problem.
Right.
On one hand, I think one of science's marvels, antibiotics to kill bacteria.
Absolutely.
And when they work well. But when they don't, then we have a problem. Explain how the antibiotic attacks the bacteria, kills it. What is an antibiotic? What's it made with?
Good question. Well, most of our antibiotics come from nature. They come from bacteria in the soil. And it used to be thought these were weapons that bacteria used to kill each other. Now scientists are starting to think that they are really maybe just chemicals that bacteria use in tiny amounts to communicate with each other, and in huge amounts, like in our antibiotics, it kills them or stops them from growing. And what they do is they target each antibiotic has a slightly different action, but they'll target something unique to bacteria, but not to our cells, which is brilliant. The thing is that with such a pinpoint attack, let's say messing up something with a bacteria's coat or a certain way it makes a protein, bacteria can evolve around that, find a gene that just changes its biochemistry a little bit so that antibiotic doesn't work against it anymore. And then bacteria, as we were talking about earlier, they can swap genes. So they might bump up against each other and you know, hey, slip this gene into your genome, and instantly the second bacteria is also antibiotic resistant.
This resistance, is it almost like an insect becomes resistant to an insecticide?
In a way, yes. And another good analogy is think of a field of weeds. You spread out a weed killer, and you're going to favor the growth of the one weed that isn't affected by your weed killer. It's going to take over then, and you're going to have a field of pesticide-resistant weeds. So antibiotics, by their nature, and scientist called Stuart Levy calls this the antibiotic paradox.
Yep.
By their nature, antibiotics are going to favor the rapid growth of antibiotic-resistant bacteria.